the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, as we contemplate the very beginnings of the public life of your only begotten Son, his baptism in the Jordan, the manifestation of your Spirit and your life among men, how we see this wondrous figure, John the Baptist, how we see the humility of Christ, may we, with all our hearts, embrace this Jesus that we are going to see and know. Through the intercession of the most blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of Peace, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, John the Baptist expresses and exemplifies to us poverty of spirit. Now, Jesus is baptized. If God is going to be my all, and there is nothing else that should get in the way, he has to be my all. He is going to teach me how to be that, how so that he can be that, my Lord, my God, and my all. Remember, that's what St. Francis of Assisi would repeat over and over and over again, continuously. Now, St. John, later on, was imprisoned because he spoke against Herod's marriage. He liked to speak to St. John. He says, I can give you anything I want, anything you want. I've got all I want. I'll make you second only to me. I've got a job. I'll kill you. No, Christ will come and save me. Can't be bribed, coerced, seduced, nothing. He stood firm for God. In fact, Franco Zeffirelli's depiction of St. John the Baptist annoyed me because, you know, he made Jesus of Nazareth, that one movie, Franco Zeffirelli, annoyed me because, first of all, I don't believe he believed in the virgin birth, and secondly, he made John the Baptist look like a nut, and by the time they did take his head off, we were all breathing a sigh of relief. That was definitely not the John the Baptist we know. We want to see the very heart of Christ walking every single minute to his horrible passion and death. One continuous straight line to his death. St. John spent his life in a monastery, and the word of God came to him one day, calling him to preach. So he went and he preached. What does John tell me about following Christ? What does Jesus tell me? You can't take the whole mystery in. You must draw from it certain things. Now, when Jesus was 12 years old, they went to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. At this time, now 30 years old, he's living with Mary and family. Joseph had already died. And so Jesus, in 26 AD, goes to the marketplace with his tools at around 10 o'clock in the morning. That's what they did for work, carpenters. Remember, carpenters were not just people who putzed with wood. They were people who chiseled stone out of the side of the hills, and they rebuild walls, retaining walls, roofs, thatched roofs, tile roofs. They created houses. They were laborers. And so he went out there, and what they would do is they'd stand in the market square, and anybody needed them, they hired them. And so he'd go, and if there was no work, he'd go and prepare wood, chisel some stone, gather up some things for building materials. So in June or July, probably he would have been gone for a few weeks for the harvest. They all did it together. Jesus knew about everything, you know. I mean, the reason he knew about it is because he did it. He harvested the grapes. He harvested the wheat. He threshed the wheat. And when you thresh it, what you're doing is you're taking the wheat and you're throwing it up. You wait for a perfect windy day. And you take the wheat after it's been dried, and you throw it up in the air, and the wheat is heavier, so the wheat falls to the ground, and the thresh is taken away, and it's blown away, so at the end you'll have nothing but the wheat. That's what threshing wheat is. And Jesus knew how to do that. He did it. They always did it in common. The whole countryside would go and harvest stuff of all kinds. Now, the second or third week of September, everyone went to the vineyards to pick and press the grapes. Did he fish? Sure knew a lot about fishing, so obviously Jesus went fishing. There's no question about that. He did know so much, building vineyards and building things and threshing wheat. So he must have done them all. Now this particular morning, he's there in the city, and here's a man talking about Bar Zacharias, John, who's been making a big ruckus and a big following near Jericho. So he says, oh, John is preaching. So he picks up his tools. He goes home. Mary says, oh, found a job so early. No, John's preaching. Now, she probably waited every single year from his 18th birthday on. Now he said it. This is it. Same feeling when the bishop says, step forward. Or when you're standing and ready to walk down the aisle and you're looking at that guy and wondering, do I really want this guy for the rest of my life? Same feeling. That kind of anticipation. That kind of foreboding. You don't know what's going to happen. Yet there's joy in anticipation of what you will accomplish with your life. So we will celebrate in the same way that Jesus does, with the same feelings and emotions. I will feel the same way as Jesus did, as John did when he left to preach. So Mary says, well, I guess that means, So Jesus says, I guess I'll go and see what he's doing. She'll bake some bread, pack a lunch for 3 days, unleavened bread. It lasts much longer in the heat and in the cold of night. She'll get out the durable clothes that she had probably made for him, the seamless tunic, which they slept in, they walked in. That's why it was seamless, because it was a kind of a catch-all garment. Very, very beautiful and very expensive. It'd be seamless. So she goes to work. And he goes to prayer. He's promising the world that he'll be there. For the week, it's getting closer. He'd walk down to the Jordan. Walk down from here. Here, Mary and Jesus. And he'd walk down to the Jordan. And then he'd go straight down, following that. Maybe even picking up a caravan. He slept under the stars. And we find in the Psalms, he called them by name. He saw the morning star. He saw all the stars, and he knew all the angels that kept them in their place. He laid down and looked up at the same stars that you and I do, the same moon in the sky. We contemplate Jesus and what he's doing, his goodly mother. Now, be sure you come back soon, Jesus, okay? Yes, mother. And after a few months, he does come back to Nazareth, and he moved Mary and the brethren to Capernaum, where Jesus set up a base. We're now only interested in Jesus walking and thinking. What is he walking from? Friends, habits, the town he knows so well, to his public life. Offering love to be rejected. What is he going to? How does he feel? Worried? Challenged? Does he feel joy? Fear? Both? Well, certainly he's thinking. Only one person walking and thinking, Jesus going to be consumed for me. No crowds for God. He only sees individuals. Remember that. Exclusively. He knows you as he is walking along. All times are now for Jesus. So I am speaking to him in his now. His now was 26, mine, 2016. My now, 2016, with him in 26. I live in him, he lives in me. Remember this. Do I have to do something a bit fearful? Like Jesus who approached the this different life. Jesus lived without a suitcase. We find it tough with one. There was a home in Capernaum, yes, but he hadn't seen that home in so long. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He is going to meet John and Philip, Andrew, James, Bartholomew, so forth. I must be with him during this trip. Now remember, a man who has nothing in himself but love does all to make others love. Now, this image that we had before about how I am in Jesus and Jesus in me, he in me, I in him, him in me. Our job during this retreat is to eradicate the me, myself, and I, the self. And we do that through our meditations. We begin to make all of our thoughts only his, all the words of prayer only his, everything him. We begin to eradicate the old man within us. Slowly but surely, we replace everything that is not of him with that which is God. And we do this in our thinking, in our praying, in our posture. We realize that every part of us must belong completely and totally only to him, so that by the end of this retreat and the end of our lives, there will be nothing left of ourselves. This is the same Jesus I'm studying now. His feet, my feet, his heart, my heart. We will go out and meet people someday with the challenges and confrontations and so forth. He could have stayed in Nazareth. But he's the kind of person that goes out after it, like you and I must be. He leaves home, follows the call, so do we. But we must keep on. He waited. He didn't decide. He didn't stand on his dignity when he was standing in line. Look at it. See what happens when he gets there. Here's the Son of God, the second person, the Blessed Trinity, standing in a line. Nobody even notices him. Just right there, standing in line, waiting to go over to the Jordan for John to baptize him. John, all of his disciples with him. Here, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Now, we have the priests and scribes and the Pharisees and the people and soldiers and the publicans and everybody lined up. The soldiers had to be there anytime there was a gathering of more than 50. They had to be there. But he waits. He doesn't stand on his dignity. God should have told me first. No. Or my superior should have told me. Or the bishop should have told me. Or why did my husband tell me? Why did my wife tell me? They should have told me first. Jesus wasn't like that at all. It's not that I must be like Jesus. I must be Jesus. There's a difference. Imitation, they say, is the highest form of flattery. And if you ever had imitation crab meat, you know what I'm talking about. It's disgusting. He doesn't want imitation. He wants the real thing. He goes to the Jordan. Or he goes to Jericho, probably gets a room and stays the night. So next we see him with all of these people. He sends no messenger ahead of him, asks for no special treatment whatsoever. He stands in a lineup, no special favors. I also must be a nobody, no special favors, devoted to self-effacement. Nowadays we'd telephone a publicity agent, not Jesus. I am taking the burdens of humanity on my own shoulders because I am Jesus. You are Jesus. He breaks into the public by a tremendous self-effacement. He drops all till he drops the last drop of blood. And out comes bread and wine, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. People would have seen him. He's nobody. Universities. How many people think that because they go through university, they should be honored and they put their plaques up on the wall? Universities are filled with so many phonies and fronts and false bibliographies. We should never put our trust, our hope, our confidence, our security in anything so stupid. John meets Jesus. They didn't know each other since they were 3 or 4 years old. They were friends when they were children. His parents consigned him, John's, to the monks near the Dead Sea. He remained there, became a monk, and later said, "It has come to me. You are to go." And so he does. It says he came preaching. That's what the gospel says. Simple words. He came preaching. Three words. All of them came out to see John. Pharisees, scribes, priests, people, soldiers, publicans. All of them around John. He had some disciples. Quite a few of them became disciples of Jesus after that. Jesus doesn't say to John, "Hey, bucko, I'm Jesus. Remember me?" There was no need to say it. There was some emanation that John saw. That's what happened. Jesus moves slowly forward in the line, waiting. Jesus waits. Who waits for who? Jesus comes close to John. John says, no, not you. I should be baptized by you. And Jesus says, fulfill righteousness. God's plan for redemption. That's what righteousness was. The Son of Man must enter in the world in the most humility, for he will take the position in the worst of us sinners. That is humility. He loves me in my misery, a heart for the miserable. That is what the word mercy means. Who lets Jesus down into the water and up? John. He lets him down and lifts him up out of the water, looking into his eyes. Jesus never baptized John. John was meant to be the last of the old. How John wanted it, though. How Jesus would have loved to, and yet it wasn't the will of the Father. My life and all its actions have been divinely decreed. I must humiliate myself, confess my sins, even as a priest, so that I can be all that I should be and must be. Jesus comes out of the water, looking at him, begins to pray to the Father, a thanksgiving for this start. Both he and John are the only ones who saw it. All others are wondering, what's going on? What's holding up the line? John is contemplating Jesus praying, and all of a sudden he hears the heavens open. He sees the heavens open, and down descends a dove, a voice. "This is my beloved Son." Jesus swept into ecstasy. All these details are depicted one after another. Everywhere you look, you see Jesus coming through. My Lord, my God, my all. What is the message of John the Baptist? This time of the baptism, spent it also with John. We are the ones who cooperate with God in salvific work as John, Christ. I in Christ and Christ in me. Jesus counts on John the Baptist. He depends upon him to fulfill his part, to follow the will of God, I was thought of and created for precisely what you are doing now. Mary had a habit of believing God. Zachary doubted the angel. Mary was rewarded. Zachary was struck down. Whatever the Lord has decreed shall be fulfilled for all time. Mary visits Elizabeth. Out comes the Angelus. The birth of John. Zachary, Elizabeth, the rabbi. Everybody insists that the name should be Zachary. He says, John. Why? You don't have anybody named John in your family. Finally, Zachary said, his name is John, and his mouth was open. But he was also struck dumb and deaf. He couldn't hear. They were making signs to him, so he both were taken away. He goes makes a speech. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. His promise to the prophets. Now, in all of these things, you have to kind of be a movie director. See where they are. Place them wherever you want. Study them. Goes back to the baby, you shall be called a prophet of the Most High. He raises him up to God. Each day we see this entire thing reenacted before us in our divine office. It's very important, if you never said the divine office, it is the official prayer of the church. And all of these things take place every morning. Who art thou, they asked John. I am not the Christ, he says, nor Elias or any other words, anybody else. I keep asking him, and he goes from five words to three to one. Are you a prophet? No. I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. That's all I am. That's all you and I are. One in the midst of you, whom you know not, working in a carpenter's shop, working, building houses and repairing things. Behold the Lamb of God, second person of the Blessed Trinity. How John knew him. How blind can a blind man be? Me in Christ Jesus. I, the friend of the bridegroom, and I have the groom within me. And he wouldn't be if it weren't for his love. Art thou he who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said, go and tell John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not scandalized because of me. Jesus speaking of John. Jesus is generous as John is faithful. Therefore, if you testify to Jesus, he will be faithful and generous to you. I am the least in the kingdom of heaven. There's a sad ending. He's put into prison, John. Jesus went off to a place by himself alone. Later, Jesus is to be judged by Herod, who killed his cousin, John. I want to be used by Jesus. I'm expendable. How high can I go in these meditations? How humble must I be? Now, I have to make a commitment to Christ. Am I willing to accept destitution, dishonor, discomfort, disgrace, persecution, and suffering if necessary? Or am I eager to embrace destitution, dishonor, discomfort, disgrace, persecution, suffering, if possible? I must be moved by an extreme love of God, moved with all things equal. All things equal. As long as I can do it, I am eager, not just willing to accept, but eager to embrace destitution, dishonor, discomfort, disgrace, persecution, and suffering. Not if necessary, but if possible, all things being equal. A poor man reads the menu from right to left because he's looking at the prices first to see what he can afford to eat. All must be equal. If you have special feet, you need special shoes. Therefore, you can't do it. You can't do things that might be detrimental. And so, take this time contemplating the baptism of Jesus, looking into the mystery, seeking to understand everything. Remember, nothing is wasted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, grant to us that kind of desire that seeks only your will alone. Get rid of that which is not of you within us, so that we may truly understand and know that freedom, that joy, that peace and contentment that can only come with an absolute giving of oneself to your will. In doing that, we will find that peace, we will find that joy, we will find that true and perfect contentment. Grant this through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of heaven and earth, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.